Missionary Enterprises, some of you already know us, and maybe to some of you, we're all new to you. So this is Missionary Aid International also. Of course, we're on social media. Today we're live streaming, obviously, and on Facebook. And we're also using a camcorder to do for a YouTube video that we're going to post eventually on YouTube channel. And of course, on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. We're looking getting set up a little bit, slowly but surely, to do some podcasting, which is going to be interesting with different subjects. And of course, I just also want to put a plug in for my website, our website, missionaryenterprises.global. So today, once again, we are under the heading or the playlist of Operation Outreach. And we were supposed to be with our brothers and sisters out there in Busia in Kenya, Africa, with Jesus Reigns Forever Ministries. This is for them, but they're not with us today. This is not the first time, but this is basically going to be the last video that we do with them for now, until they settle their issues over there with the internet, different things like that. So the key topic today is June 14th, 2019, Friday. And very interestingly, the key topic today is what does the word really have to say about the Father or the fatherhood of God. And out of all things, I didn't even know it was Father's Day coming up Sunday. I just found out a couple days ago, so I just kind of thought it was kind of quote-unquote coincidence or God incidence that I was doing this teaching on the Father or the fatherhood of God, which I could have done any other teaching. I still have four more videos to wrap up before we start making some actual videos for the website, different things like that. So, introduction today, what's the introduction? My introduction says here that the Word of God, which I already referred to right here, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, has much to say about God the Father, as well as God the Word, Jesus, before in his pre-existent state. Also what the Word has to say about God the Holy Spirit, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity, according to his humanity. And we need to get to know each one of them via the Word of God, via also revelation knowledge. So you'll never get to know who God is and what God is and who we are in Christ and who the Holy Spirit is apart from the written Word and also the revealed Word. But he starts with the written Word. That's when the Lord told me back in 2002-2003, my Word demands your full attention. And I thought his Word already had my full attention, but he did not. So anyhow, let's move on here to, what do we got here? Page 2. Key word. Let's look at the key word here for this word, Father. Very interesting word in the Greek. Strong's number 3962. The original word, we put up the original word in the Greek. The word, the transliteration is the word pater. So it reminds me of the word papa. We use in English as well as in French and other dialects also the word papa. And funny thing is, though, the Greek word is found in the root pa, pa. And there you get the word papa. So it actually means nourisher, protector, upholder. Also one who imparts life and is committed to it. A progenitor, bringing into being to pass on the potential for likeness. Refers to a begetter, originator, one in intimate connection and relationship. The originator and transmitter of anything. The author of a family or society of persons animated by the same spirit as himself. One who has infused his own spirit into others, who actuates and governs their minds, and one who shows himself as like another in spirit and purpose as though he had inherited his nature from him. Wow, we can learn so much regarding who our Father is as those who are born of God, born of incorruptible seed. So my comment is this, just from these definitions above, we can learn so much about the character as well as the attributes of our Heavenly Father, which will help us greatly in our walk and our fellowship with Him. So let's get into the key references. And we're going to start with Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, starting with Matthew 5, verse 16 and 45. 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Verse 45, to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and makes the rain fall upon the upright and the wrongdoers alike. 48, you therefore must be perfect. Oh, a lot of people don't like this one. I love it because I understand it. Growing into complete maturity of godliness and mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity as your heavenly Father is perfect. Comment is this on verse 16 and 45. Once we are born of God or born of incorruptible seed, etc., we have a Father who is in heaven, which is why we need to walk by faith and not by sight, because God our Father is invisible. Yeah. Yet our faith makes him visible in many ways. My other comment is this on verse 48, like Father, like Son. Verse 48, be ye perfect, right? As your Father is perfect, which is also found in John 5, 17, 19 to 20 and 30. And this perfection is impossible apart from Ephesians 2, Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, and James 1, 21, James 1, 21, which I've taught a lot on. It's some of my pet doctrine, things that the Lord has taught me concerning putting off the old man, putting on the new man. So because there's not this perfection, you cannot find it in the old man. It's only in the new man. So Matthew, let's move on to Matthew 6, verse 4, 6, and 8. For so that your deeds and charity may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Verse 6, when you pray, go into your most private room. That could be anywhere. That could be out in a field somewhere. That could be out, like I used to go for prayer walks. Doesn't have to be in a little enclosed enclosure, no, where you suffocate half the time. No, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. 6, but when you pray, go into your most private room and closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verse 32, for the Gentiles, heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all, not some, but all. So my first comment A, one of these days I'll be doing a full teaching on Matthew 6, 24 to 34, which I just touched on briefly. Comment B, verse 4, for verse 4 and 6, God sees everything, whether it's good or bad, meaning we cannot hide anything or nothing from him, right? He is invisible to us, but we are very visible to him. And this must become a great reality to us as his children and sons. Comment number C, regarding verse 8 and verse 32, God is more than willing to supply all of our needs. I said all of our needs, based upon his will, his plans, his purposes for our lives, Ephesians 2:10. Yet it is up to us to line up with his will as well as walk by faith, so that God can do what he alone can do when it comes to providing everything needed to get the work done. It makes sense, right? So the continuation on part C, my comment in part C, is I no longer go to God with my list of needs. No way. Those days are gone a long time ago, because God is the one who reveals to me what my needs are beforehand, so that I can believe him for them. All of this done out of what? Intimacy, relationship, fellowship, according to his written word, as well as the revealed word and his promises. Yeah. Remember that a son has no will of his own. Back to what it says in John 5. Jesus said the son can do nothing of himself. So let's move on to Matthew 7, verse 11. If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous gifts, things to those who keep on asking him. Common is this, asking according to his will is critical. It is so critical, it's imperative. According to James 4, verse 2 and 3, 1 John 3:21 to 22, as well as asking in faith, according to Mark 11:24. All right? So my comment, yeah, that was my comment. So let's move on to page 5 here. Matthew 12:50. For whoever does the will of my Father, this is Jesus saying this, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Comment back to sonship, not having a will of our own, but only to know and to do his will. Jesus said, that is my meat. My meat. Yeah, and that's my meat either, though, even though I'm not a big meat eater. And I do most of my fasting. I try to do as much fasting as I can, usually 340 days a year. So, Matthew 24, 36. But of that exact day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Common is this, Jesus was talking according to his humanity. According to his humanity, and not according to his deity. This has baffled a lot of people. You know, they're saying, see, that proves that Jesus did not know everything. Jesus is not God. No, Jesus was God before he became Jesus. But he's speaking from a standpoint of his humanity. All right? So Matthew 26, let's move on to verse 53. Do you suppose I cannot appeal to my Father and he will immediately provide me with more than 12 legions, more than 80,000 angels? Imagine that, 80,000 angels. Wow. So my comment is this, this is the kind of relationship as well as power that Jesus walked in according to his humanity, which belongs to all of us as well. Believe it or not, it really does. Once you understand that we have his nature, once we're born again, we've been born again with his nature. So Mark, let's move on to Mark 14, verse 36. Verse 36, and he was saying, Abba, which means Father, everything is possible for you. Take away this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Comment is this, John 20:17, and Romans 8:15-29. Jesus being our elder brother according to his humanity, being God's firstborn son, according to Colossians 1:15-18. So, Gospel of Luke, Luke 2:49, and he said to them, how is it that you have had to look for me? This is Jesus talking when he was a little boy, at the age of 12. And did you not see and know that it is necessary as a duty for me to be in my Father's house and occupied about my Father's business? My comment is this, many church leaders claim this, but things are going to look very different on that great day in the judgment seat of Christ. A lot of leaders are claiming to be about the Father's business, but they're not about the Father's business, they're about their own business. All right? So we seem to be thinking that we get away with a lot of things, but we're not getting away with nothing. And that's exactly what the Lord told Dave Roberson one day. He says, nobody's getting away with anything. So Luke 12, verse 32, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So my comment is this, as his children's sons, everything that belongs to our Father belongs to us via our union with Christ, who is God's firstborn son. Yet this is only available to those of us who walk in our sonship as Jesus himself walked in his sonship, which is also found in Romans 8:14. It says, all those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Jesus was all, everything Jesus did was by the Spirit. So he walked continually in his sonship. So that belongs to all of us. So let's move on to Luke 15, verse 31. And the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. This is the prodigal son here. Common is this. This is what I was talking about in Luke 12, 32. He had everything. We've got everything available to us. Everything. God is not withholding anything from us. God actually, the Lord told me that one day. He says, I'm not withholding nothing from you. Nothing. Even revelation, he said. I'm not withholding the revelation from you. So let's move on to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, let's move on to John 4, chapter 4, verse 21, verse 23, a time will come, however, indeed, it is already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, reality, for the Father is seeking just such people as these as his worshipers. My comment is this: Jesus is talking about those of us who would be born of the Spirit, having been recreated in God's image and spirit by the Spirit of truth, which is found in Titus 3:5, regarding that word palingenesis. John 5, chapter 5, verse 19. Verse 19 says, "So Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself, of his own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way." Verse 20. The Father dearly loves the Son. The Father dearly loves the Son and discloses to show him everything that he himself does. All right? Move on to verse 30. I am able to do nothing of myself independently of my own accord, but I am only as I'm taught by God. Taught by God as I get his orders, even as I hear, I judge, I decide as I'm bidden to decide, as the voice comes to me. So I give a decision, and my judgment is right, just righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. That's the Amplified. Comment is this concerning verse 17, 19 to 20, and verse 30. I've taught to some degree on these four verses many times. These verses need to become our day and night confessions. Yeah, coming in full agreement with them so that God can perform them for us. And this is what God is looking for above all else. This will change the church like nothing else will. The Lord himself told me that he wanted me to live out of these verses, and I'm planning on doing just that. Let's move on to John chapter 8, verse 29. And he who sent me is ever with me. My Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Yeah? So my comment is this: this is the kind of confidence that we can walk in, yet it's up to us and not up to God as we continue to seek to please him and him alone according to his word, his will, and his plans for our lives. John 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I have told you so, yet you do not believe me, you do not trust me and rely on me. The very works that I do by power of my Father and in my Father's name bear witness concerning me. They're my credentials." Oh, they are my credentials. Yeah, these need to become, even those of us who do have credentials. I got credentials, but you know what? In many ways, they don't mean nothing to me. They really don't. They are my credentials and evidence in support of me. Comment is this: this belongs to all of us who are born of God, yet it is reserved for those of us who have learned to walk in our sonship. Yeah, and I put emphasis on the word learn, because walking in your sonship does not happen overnight. Okay, it's something you do on purpose, and it's something you do according to what the word has to say about it concerning the five keys. All right, so let's 37 and 38. "For if I am not doing the works, perform the deeds of my Father, then do not believe me. Do not adhere to me and trust me and rely on me." You know, we got a lot of people putting their trust in preachers, and they're nowhere near doing the works of the Father. Not even near it. They're not even teaching right, and they've got huge followings. But this is going to be dealt with in the judgment seat of Christ. "But if I do them," verse 38, "even though you do not believe me and have faith in me, at least believe the works and have faith in what I do, in order that you may know and understand clearly that the Father is in me and I am in the Father, one with him." Comment is this: this belongs to all of us who are born of God, yet it is reserved for those of us who have learned to walk in our sonship. All right? John 12. John 12, verse 15. And I know that his commandments is eternal life. So whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with his instructions. Comment is this. Once again, this is sonship at its best. This world, this would transform our preaching, our teaching, our witnessing. This is what Jesus died for. It really is. Jesus died so that the will of the Father could be done through each and one of us, since we're the body of Christ. We're his body. John 14. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Comment is this, we have this perfect access to the Father via our union with His Son, the second last Adam. And the stronger relationship is with His Son, the stronger our relationship will be with our Father. Because Jesus came that on purpose. He came to reconcile us back, not only to God, but to reconcile us back to the Father. Because remember, Adam was referred to in Luke 3:38, I believe, Son of God. So God had a son before Jesus came. He had a son. Adam was. And that's what he wanted to have on this planet. He wanted sons. You know? So God works everything through the second Adam. That's why he sent the second Adam. Through the substitution, reconciliation. Comment is this. That's what I did the comment, right? Our relationship with our Father through the Son. Verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I'm telling you, I do not say on my own authority or my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me and does his works, his own miracles through me. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. Verse 12, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. What does that mean, I go to the Father? Comment is this, Ephesians 1, 20 to 21 and 2, 6, being seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about his ascension. Okay, that was key. Without the ascension, everything he did at the cross, as great as everything that took place at the cross, without the ascension and being seated, it'd all be in vain. He had to be seated. Because when he was seated, we were seated with him, right? And that's the place of authority that we have. Okay, so verse 13, 16, and 20. And I will do of myself, or grant whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled through the Son. 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, etc., that he may remain with you forever. Verse 20. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. See the connection? See the unity? That's the unity that the Godhead wants to have with us. Common is this. Like I said before, our union with the Son is key to our union with the Father. It really is. Verse 21. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will reveal myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Verse 23, 24, and then 26. Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teachings, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him, and we will come to him and make our home abode with him. Anyone who does not really love me, does not observe and obey my teachings, and the teachings which you hear and heed is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. Verse 26. But the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, etc. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me, to act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, to remind you, bring to remembrance everything I've told you. Comment is this: the Father sent the Spirit in order for the Spirit to take the place of his Son in those of whom are born of him, his Son, so that the Father could have the very same kind of relationship, same kind of relationship with us that he had had with his firstborn Son. That belongs to us. That's where the power of the church is. That's where the church walks in the preeminence that it talks about in Colossians. Let's move on here. John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. 14 and 15, he will honor and glorify me, Jesus, because he will take off, receive, and draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you, to us, the body. 15, everything that the Father has is mine. And that is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit them to you. See? Common is this, verse 13 and 15. 13 to 15, these are some of the most vital, pivotal references regarding our sonship, which has to do with our relationship with the Father, as well as with Jesus, as well as with the Holy Spirit. Did you see all three of them? Three of them in there. The Father, Jesus in his humanity as our elder brother, as a second Adam, and God the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who has come to take the place of Jesus on this earth. His perfect representative. Let's move on to John. We're still in John. John 20. Chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, I love this verse, do not cling to me, do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended. See, there is the ascension to the Father, but go to my brethren, not to my disciples, go to my brethren. This is after the resurrection. And tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Comment is this, the moment Jesus was, or we was Jesus, and we were raised from the dead, as well as ascended back to heaven, his God, his Father, according to his humanity, not his deity, became ours as well, positionally, legally, and judicially. Okay, but until you're actually born again, God doesn't become your Father. It's only once you are actually born again that God becomes your God, and he actually becomes your Father. And everything that is associated with God being your Father and being your God. Let's move on to Romans. Epistle to the Romans. Romans 8:15. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery, but to put you once into bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption. I'm going to touch on that. The Spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. So very interesting here. My comment is this, that the word Spirit should be lowercase spirit, denoting the recreated Spirit, denoting the new nature. As sons of God, we were not adopted. Okay, we were not adopted by God, but born of God. You cannot be adopted as well as born. It's either one or the other. So there's a huge mistranslation or a bad translation. But all in all, I'm going to touch on this. We're going to have this on my website, but I'll be doing a teaching. We'll do the live stream too on all of this. Let's move on here to Galatians. Galatians. The Epistle of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. 4 verse 6. And because you really are his sons, God has sent the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Commonest is back to Romans 8:15, where it mentions the word Abba, Father, but also back all the way back to Mark 14:36, where Jesus is calling out to his Abba, Father, in his humanity. So the moment we receive this new nature, we receive the very same nature that Jesus was born with according to his humanity, which is what makes us sons of God. Since Jesus was God's firstborn son of many other sons, according to Romans 8:29, right? Okay, so I think this is my last verse coming up here. There's a lot more verses to this, but I wanted to cut this teaching quite short. Let's move on to the epistle to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For it is through him, Jesus, that we may both, whether far off or near, Jews, Gentiles, we now have an introduction and access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the Father, so that we are able to approach him, have access to him. So my comment is this: we have this perfect access. It's a perfect access to the Father through Jesus by the indwelling Holy Spirit, who was sent to take the very place of Jesus. And this access we have 24/7, 365, meaning 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, until we are out of here. So I want to thank you for your time once again. I want to thank you for your viewership. I want to thank you for those who are getting something out of these videos. I put a lot of work into the notes. I know a lot of people make live stream videos. They go on YouTube, and really a lot of the teaching is not really what it should be. But anyhow, I'm going to let the Lord be judge of all of that. We try to make these teachings in a sense that they will edify the body, but also bring correction, because that's part of my calling. I'm an apostolic missionary, yes, but I'm an apostolic reformer.